And it's small and intimate pieces, so it'll be fun for people to spend some time really getting to know the pieces.
The six-week spotlight returns to Haines and the spring show of Winter Work to Skagway. And an Academy Award-winning documentary shows this weekend. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. Skagway Borough Manager Tom Smith is recovering from surgery in Anchorage 1 week after being medevaced for a possible heart attack. Smith underwent quadruple bypass surgery last weekend and is now in progressive care at Providence Hospital. On Thursday morning, Mayor Tom Cochran spoke to Smith, who's now walking around two or three times a day. Smith doesn't yet have a return date to Skagway and is on medical leave until the end of the month. In the meantime, he can receive phone calls at Providence. The six-week spotlight is back, with opening night on Friday at Haines Sheldon Museum and Cultural Center.
This is going to be a really fun show to open with.
Karen Meisner, Exhibits and Collections Coordinator at the Sheldon Museum.
I'm getting really excited about it because I got to see what they put up yesterday, and it's looking really good. It's Amelia Nash and Andrea Nelson put in a application to do a joint show of each of their art. And it's very compatible with each other, so it's really going to be interesting.
The six-week spotlight is in its third reincarnation and is a series of art shows by artists that live right in the Chilkat Valley. And the work in the opening show is fascinating, a mixed bag of tiny little worlds that are full of curiosity, story, and detail. One of the artists, Amelia Nash.
Andrea has a knack for finding beautiful objects when she's out on walks or driving around. She is just really good at spotting things that are unusual or beautiful that other people might pass by. And she builds assemblages out of those things. It's sort of like sculpture. Some of them are mounted on the wall and some are freestanding. And they're just gorgeous. They're like little worlds that you might not have known existed. And they're made up of elements from our daily lives or from the past. And my work is slightly more traditional in that I work with paper, pencil, pen and ink, and watercolor. But it might be a bit odd because it's definitely, it all comes from my imagination.
Meisner has been helping the artists set up the exhibit.
They have very different styles in some ways, but it works very well together. And it's kind of small and intimate pieces, so it'll be fun for people to spend some time walking, you know, from one to the other and really getting to know the pieces, if you will.
The spotlight has featured a handful of local artists already and was born out of a desire to use the Museum and Cultural Center as a place to exhibit the living art culture in Haines. And with more artists, designers, and people working in media than 90% of the communities in the U.S., there's a lot to choose from here.
This was actually the idea of Addison Fields, the director who was here right before Jerry Clark came. And Andrea Nelson actually was working here at the time as the exhibits and collections coordinator. And they were looking at things that they needed to do to make the museum a little bit more attentive to and responsive to the community. And they felt that they needed to be emphasizing the cultural center aspect of the Sheldon Museum and Cultural Center. So they opened up what had been a room used for education and videos and opened it up into a gallery for traveling exhibitions and also for local artist shows, realizing that there are so many people in the Chilkat Valley who are able to make their living as artists or who are really good artists.
But there's another reason for the spotlight. Creators also thought the experience would introduce newer artists to the complicated world of putting together a show.
How to hang a show, which is actually, I think most artists are really good at that because they have a good eye anyway, so they know how to organize their work into something that's going to really make it look good. But also just helping out, getting the publicity out, and learning how to talk about their art to kind of stand as a liaison, if you will, between themselves and their art.
Nash, for example, has put together smaller shows before, but has worked through a lot of firsts as a six-week spotlight artist.
Andre and I didn't go to art school and were kind of lacking the formal education, so we never received instruction on how to actually put together a show. So it's been a great learning experience for both of us.
The two women work out of a studio in Dalton City. Andrea moved to Haines in 2004, and Amelia is a native Haines resident.
We've been kind of just conversing about things like, you know, where do the pieces go on the wall? How do we mount them? You know, finishing up framing details and publicity, and working with the museum on all of those things has just been great. I mean, you learn so much, and as you go, you develop more questions. So definitely learning a lot.
Details as simple as choosing a paint color for the museum wall or packing the delicate pieces for travel to the museum were helpful for the two of them to learn. Nash says it's much different creating art for a show than for hobby.
Usually, creating has been something that I've just done for my own benefit. So until very recently, I'd never actually shown pieces at all. So this has just been... It's just completely different from anything I've ever done. And the deadline of the show was actually a big help because Andrea and I both have day jobs. And so we don't get to spend as much time as we'd like on art, which is a hobby, basically. And this show kind of elevated it from hobby status to, oh, we're really doing it. You know, we can call ourselves artists and see what comes of that.
The show will be on display through most of May. Then the next spotlight show will go up with Sharon Svensson and Debbie Knight Kennedy. Out of 12 applications last year, 6 artists were selected for 4 shows throughout the year.
It's a fantastic opportunity, and I'm so grateful to the museum for offering it to local artists. Something like this is really rare. You really, usually in a situation like this, you would have to be an established artist, really. And they, you know, they just open up the submissions to anyone, and we put together an application, and they were kind enough to take us on. So it's great. This is something that, you know, could only happen in the Chilkat Valley, kind of, and we're taking advantage of it.
This season's opening of the 6-week spotlight is a show by Andrea Nelson and Amelia Nash, Friday, April 16th, with a reception from 5 to 7 p.m. It's $5 for visitors and free for Chilkat Valley residents. The Sheldon Museum is also in the middle of reorganizing their history exhibits in the lower gallery.
Basically, what we're doing is reinstalling the history exhibits that were down here to try and balance the story a little bit.
Meisner says an issue that prompted the changes was Steve Sheldon's style of collecting. The museum was named after Sheldon's family.
Steve Sheldon was an amazing collector and collected just all kinds of wonderful things. But because he was collecting items specifically and not collecting to tell the story of the Chilkat Valley, he has a lot of things in some areas and not much to represent other areas of our history. So we're trying to, instead of making it object-oriented, make it story-oriented and try and be sure that we're really telling the whole story or as much as we can of the Chilkat Valley.
The gallery will still be unfinished at the 6-week spotlight opening, but visitors are still welcome to check in. Once again, Exhibits and Collections Coordinator Karen Meisner from the Sheldon Museum.
By Friday, it'll be open for people to come down and visit and make comments on. It's going to be fairly incomplete. There will be a lot of signage that's not there, so a lot of explanatory material that might not be there that people will be wanting. But hopefully everybody will get a good idea of it, and hopefully people who have objects that can fill in some of our blank spaces or photographs that can help fill in the story might volunteer to loan them or give them to us. We can add those to the exhibits.
April is Arts Education Month. Art Fest just ended in Haines, and 7 Skagway students are heading home with pieces created in a variety of workshops. Those pieces could end up in the 2nd annual Spring Show of Winter Work, opening Friday at the Skagway Public Library. From 5 to 7 p.m., performances and a reception will begin the event. Then, the show will be open on Saturday, April 17th, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall at the First Presbyterian Church on 5th and Main. The event celebrates the imagination in Skagway, especially that special cabin fever creativity that comes out over the winter. Attendance is free. An Academy Award-winning documentary about controversial dolphin hunting in Japan is making an appearance in Haines this weekend. The Cove, also an Oscar-winning feature documentary, follows filmmakers and freedivers as they tell a story about a Japanese dolphin harvest that kills up to 25,000 of the mammals each year. The movie was made using hidden microphones and cameras in fake rocks, covertly placed underwater and in mountainsides in Taiji, Japan. This is from the trailer.
I do want to say that we try to do the story legally.
I hope you don't enter and the place prohibited
no.
to enter.
No.
You absolutely
yeah.
don't enter.
I don't enter. No.
We needed people with a special set of skills.
Louis and I started discussing all of these ways that we could film it.
We'd used quite a few different devices.
Hidden mics, hidden cameras. We documented everything.
The Cove came out a year ago, putting more pressure on the Japanese whaling industry to end dolphin hunts. Although dolphin hunting is still allowed in Japan, it is banned in other parts of the world, and groups like Earth Island Institute, the people behind Dolphin Safe Tuna, argue that the practice is unethical. Gershon Cohen is with the group, which is showing The Cove on Sunday.
It's more than a documentary. I mean, when I first watched the film, I was surprised at how much of a thriller it was. And there are a few moments in the movie that are brutal to watch. No question about that. It turns The Cove red. They originally bring the dolphins in to capture a number of dolphins for SeaWorld and places like that so that people can swim with dolphins. And the dolphins that are not chosen for the dolphinariums are then slaughtered, and the meat is taken to the store. Now, you're not allowed to sell dolphin meat in the stores, and so the Japanese have been calling it whale meat. And unfortunately, dolphin meat is not the same as whale meat, in part because of the food source for the dolphins. Dolphin meat is very, very high in mercury, and they weren't selling enough of it. And so they started programs where they were giving it away to schools for school lunch programs.
The Cove documentary will show at the Chilkat Center for the Arts on Sunday, April 18th at 7 p.m. Entrance is free or by donation. Reporting for KHNS, this is Tara Bicknell.